Welcome to this week's edition of Don Cherry's Grapevine Podcast, voted biggest and best in 2020 by Apple Podcasts. And Dad, Cindy, we reached a new milestone. We have 3 million downloads. We just reached that last week.
And not only that, I mean, you can't believe the countries that listen to our, what do we say, our
podcasts
around, well, we like to, around the table.
Okay, you read them, Cindy.
Okay, so we, of course, Canada, there's the U.S., U.K., Australia, Mexico, Japan. They say to say UAE, but it's United Arab Emirate, New Zealand, Netherlands, Ukraine, Finland, Germany, Denmark, South Korea, Hong Kong, Romania, Switzerland.
I'm getting nervous.
France, Norway, Italy, Ireland, the Czech Republic, Greece, Thailand, Singapore, Taiwan, and Kuwait. Now, this is because there's a lot of soldiers in those countries and plus transplanted Canadians, perhaps. It really is amazing. It's sort of scary to think.
You know, it's a funny thing. There's a bar in London, England. And if a Canadian's homesick, he goes there. I think it's Maple Leaf. And Who's the guy that plays in the movies?
Mike Myers.
Oh, Mike Myers. Yeah, Mike Myers. When he was, I remember reading this story that Mike Myers, when he wasn't a big star, he's a big star now. So he was in England. He was in London, and Coach's Corner come on, and he started to cry. You know, it was part of Canada. He was.
That's about it. Yeah. That's why it was so popular in Tampa and all that. A lot of transplanted Canadians down there, you know, in the snowbirds down there. And
yeah,
it's a part of Canada, your homeland.
Yeah, well, as we're doing this, July 4th, I remember over in the States, boy, when we lived on Elm Drive. You can't beat Elm Drive. And
that was in Rochester.
That was in Rochester, yeah. And all the Elm Dutch Beatles had got in, killed them all. But everybody had the flag out.
Yeah. You know, I have to say that, Dad. But you know, we'll get into the finals in a minute. But from my memory, in Rochester, everybody had an American flag.
Everybody.
Wasn't so much in North Andover though, in Boston as much.
No, that's true too. I never thought of that.
I mean, in Rochester, everybody had a flag. Even half the times they were having flags, even when there wasn't Fourth of July.
Well, Rochester is sort of like it was middle class, and Boston and North Andover, we were sort of living in the woods there, I guess, whatever it was. I remember Rochester, boy, and Whitey Smith, I used to kid him all the time. He was a color guard. He was a great guy. Anyhow, you know, let's get back to the Montreal Canadiens. And
so I have a question for you, Dad.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now it's Sunday morning. We tape this, and the big game is going to be on Monday, and probably a lot of people listening already know the results. But when you're going into, like, Tampa's going in on Monday, and they know the cups in the building and the whole deal, do they try really, really as hard as before, or would they like to win it back in their own hometown, maybe make a few bucks for their extra bucks for their owner?
No.
How do they go into the game?
They'll be a little dopey. They won't.
Dopey.
Dopey. They won't. Let me put it this way to you. Nobody, I never thought it that way, and I don't think anybody else thinks that. Cooper would like to get it over with. It would be nice to win it back at Tampa, but he won't stress it quite as much as he would if he was at home. And that's a good question.
So they don't play any different? They go full out?
I don't know. They'll play kind of dopey.
Yeah.
I don't know. I played on teams that were up 3-0 and we were going in. And I remember playing I don't know. I can't answer that question, to tell you the truth.
I stumped Don Cherry with the question.
Well, you didn't stump me.
You were telling us, because we have coffee on Tim's porch before. Tell us the story when you were saying about when you were up, where when you were lost two, you were 2-0 down and against Montreal.
Because it was, we lost the first two games in Montreal, and it was almost the same kind of scenario where, and I guess it was 79, that the second game the Bruins played Montreal, we should have won. And the reality was, I think Montreal should have won that second game in Tampa. I mean, they outplayed them, outshot them.
Well, they're out. Here's the funny thing about the whole thing is that Canadians are out shooting them now. But when you give the guys that, you know, Kucherov, they're giving a give Kucherov 7 goals. But anyhow, let me tell you a story. Yeah, we lost 2-0, and the players were down. You know, this is, here we go again, because we'd lost in the finals the year before.
And those are the days when you chartered a flight back to Boston. Yeah. So
I went in the dressing room and I said, "We will be back for the 7th game. Will we be?" And the players, you know, they're getting. I said, "We'll be back," and you know, and I. So now we get on the plane, and all the brass is sitting up the front. And Harry and Jeremy Jacobs and everybody. I don't know. All the brass is sitting up the front. So I said to the stewardess, I said, "Do we have any champagne?" And I'm sitting in the back. And and she said, "Yeah, we have some bottles." I said, "Okay, get out the bottles." And then I said, "Do we have those glasses that look like champagne glasses? You know, they." She says, "Yeah, we do." I said, "Give them to all the players." And she thought I was nuts. You know, we just were down 2-0. So they have they give the glasses out to the players. And I said, "We're going to drink to the 7th game back here in Montreal." You know,
and you were up actually pouring the champagne.
I was up, and you naturally thought I was nuts in the front. Yeah, I'll tell you another story just to jump in. And we were back for the 7th game. We lost, unfortunately.
I could imagine there would be a lot of eyes rolling in the first class section.
Some of the players thought, this guy's nuts or something like that. Anything, but we were back to the 7th game. We lost, and too many men on the ice. And if I hadn't caught a couple of guys, we might have had 9 guys on the ice. But we were so excited. But we were back, and the 3rd game I always think is the most important game, because if they win that game, they're right back in this thing again, and they outshot Florida.
Yeah, both the second game and the 3rd game. But you know that Montreal, the coaches, they knew they should have won that second game. And that was, you know, they should have been 1-1 going back. Like, how do you, like, as a coach, what do you do? Like, you just go, like, we're down 2-0. We should be 1-1.
And then they outshot them again.
And they outshot them again in the third game.
Third game is always the most important to me. And to lose that, there's no way. I mean, Montreal, you know, a Canadian team with the most Canadians. I wish they would, but they're not going to win. They're not going to beat Florida going back. And I'd like to say something about Vasilevskiy. Their goaltender.
Vasilevskiy.
Yeah. He is so big that when the shots are from the point, he looks over top of them. Next game, and you're watching, watch him look over top of the guys in front, because he's so big. Now, that's...
You know what? Just jumping in there. You know what a strange thing is? He looks bigger than Price, right?
Yeah.
They're the same size and same weight.
Get out.
Yeah. They're the same size, same weight. They're both 6'3". Price is 220, and Vasilevskiy is 6'3", 225.
So do they have different goalie styles? Is that it?
I think his equipment's bigger.
Oh.
Well, I know one thing. He looks a lot bigger, and when they're coming in on him, he looks pretty big to me.
Well, you and I were talking about it that, you know, he has your philosophy of, if it's a 2-on-1 or thing or an odd man, which there isn't too many, he just comes roaring out and blocks a shot.
And they know it, the defense, too.
Right, and his mentality is, if you pass the puck and they score, it's not my fault.
No, and if like a 2-on-1, next time you say, might have 2 more games. And when it's a 2-on-1, he'll come out and take the shooter. And if you pass it over, not his fault. And the defense knows that. I mean, when they play,
there's no guesswork. Everyone knows the game plan.
He's taking the shooter. He doesn't try to do half and half.
Well, that makes sense, because how many of the times you see the goalies not know whether to go over or do what they're going to do or try to read the play?
The defense knows that he's taking the shooter. If he passes it over, it's the defense fault. And he doesn't point at the guy, but everybody knows it's his fault.
Yeah, and when he comes out, there's nothing you can do. You're not.
But don't your next game. Watch how he looks over top of the guy out at the point, and he looks over top. I don't believe they're the same.
According to the NHL stats, and they Price shrunk over the beginning of the season.
No, the other guy grew. he's taller. I don't care what anybody says. He's taller. He looks taller to me, anyhow.
Yeah. Well, and you know, we're just talking about that game too. And if you don't, if you remember, I think the killer was in with a half a second left in the second period. They scored. Tampa scored to go ahead.
Tim, can I tell you the one that I really think that there's a point in every game or every series that, and you know, again, I'm going back to the Boston series. I hate to say this. But remember, they got that penalty that
against the Islanders. Yeah, they got a chintzy penalty. Scored, and the Islanders just seemed to take off after that.
And they never were the same after that. During that game, remind me of the Ice Dogs. The Ice Dogs, when we took over the Ice Dogs, we drafted and we didn't draft very good. And I remember we got a Russian. I got forced to take a Russian. And he didn't know the game very good. And killing the penalty, he come out and went through the guys going down. I said, what are you doing? And when I was with the Bruins, it taught me a lesson. When I was with the Bruins, the guy going out, say he was a left defenseman, or say he was a defenseman.
So what you're saying is, when they come out of the penalty or you're changing.
You stay on. If you're a defenseman, you stay on. You play left wing. Or you play right wing.
You don't go to the bench.
You don't go to the bench because... And what happened is it wasn't quite the same, but this guy was changing on the, and it was the third goal, and he actually skated between the two guys that had the 2-on-1.
Oh, trying to get to the bench.
Well, he was changing. He had his mind mapped. He was going to make, and that was the third goal was the killer, and you know, that was it. You could just see them just change the whole deal.
Tell us about the quick story though, like. We said that you got they got, you know, it was 1-1 and Montreal was out playing them, and then they scored to make it 2-1 with half a second left. Didn't that happen to you in Vancouver?
Oh yeah, I remember in Vancouver. We were in Vancouver. That's a true story. I mean, that's hard to believe, but Jilly Gilbert, who set a record, by the way, that still holds in the National Hockey League. What is it? 17 straight game?
17 consecutive wins doesn't mean he won 17. Like played 17 games in a row, but the 17 games that he played,
and he got all the tough ones.
He won every game.
Yeah, he got all the tough games. If we played three games in three nights,
yeah, you say you didn't like him, but this may be one of the reasons why. So
yeah, I think the players. But anyhow, it was near the end of the game, and it was a face off in Vancouver's ends, and it was the end of the period. Yeah, it was the end of the period, and. They just got the puck, you know, and you'll see it once in a while. They just take it, slap it, put it on net. And the guy got it, and he slapped it. And the puck went in. And I swore that Jilly was taking his glove off when the puck went in.
So there's like a second left. He's skating out of the net.
Yeah, you know, he figures
his period's over.
And I said, I remember Peter McNabb, they all like Jilly, eh? And Jill.
Well, they felt sorry for him and didn't want him even more in your bad books.
Whatever it was. I said, you know, I think he was taking his glove off when that oh, no, he was, I don't know. And then later on I saw it. He was skating over the net, taking his gloves off. I mean, who do you ever figure with 3 or 4 seconds to go? That's why guys don't pull a goalie because, you know, bing, bang. Anyhow. So what was the question?
I was just saying, I think that was a big backbreaker in game two. That it was, they scored with a half a second left.
And you know what gets me when I see this McDonough, Ryan McDonough, he was +3 the last game, and he kills the penalties, he blocks shots, he's fantastic, and they gave him away. He was with the Montreal, and they gave him away, and he's +3 in a 4-2 game. He's +3.
It's amazing how like Tampa like. Braden Point had an okay season, and now he's second in the league in points.
Well, how many guys? He's unbelievable on goals. I mean, and at the start of the we did this broadcast. This is my favorite player in the playoffs is Braden Point. I hate to say that, but he is. And but you're not going to win when you give a guy like Khrushchev 7 shots on net. That's what he had.
Speaking of him, it's funny. Like he's the whole. Controversy around the Tampa and the salary cap. So he didn't play at all this year.
Yeah.
Didn't play at all. And they took the $9 million off the salary. And that allowed, you know, I was reading an article and they said, you know, the big thing was they were able to get that Dennis Savard, the defenseman, because of that. And because he's almost making, I think it's like $4.5 million.
By the way, talking about defensemen, I'm not knocking Adam Fox. I mean, he won the best defenseman. Yeah. I mean, I'm not knocking the guy, but I mean, what is Hegberg and guys like that think? I mean, McDonough and Peter Angelo and.
Well, yeah, I don't.
Not knocking the guy, but.
Well, you know why? No, we know why. Because he was in New York.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the writers that are right.
What was the stats?
He had 4 goals, 47 points, plus 19, and 14 minutes in penalties.
And there's a guy who played for Arizona that we met, Chikrin.
Yeah.
Jacob Chikrin. Jake Chikrin. He got 18 goals. 18 goals. He got 4 times as many goals, if that's the way you're going. And he didn't, and you know, he's not even mentioned.
Yeah, they said this is the first time they can't remember that a guy won the Norris Trophy, that team didn't make the playoffs.
I have a question, and you might even want to edit this out and all this, because it might be a dumb question. But when I was watching that game, when there was 0.3 seconds left, okay, is that automatically stop? Like, is there a thing where the puck it beeps automatically, or is that still a person?
The light goes on
yeah. automatically. Okay, yeah. So it's not up to a person to press that button. Because I was going to say, why wouldn't they?
But they could still look at replay and see if it went in.
Yeah, is that right? Because I was wondering. Because I know sometimes
when
in the
you
old
see
days,
the green light,
it's automatically synced with the. So the red light won't come on if it's synced with that light synced with the clock.
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, not like the old days where it was like manually, right? And you used to cheat all the time if it was here.
Give me Adam Fox's
stats.
Stats again.
4 goals, 47 points, plus 19, and 14 minutes in penalties.
You know, and not that I'd get on the Bobby Orr thing again, but he had 46 goals, and this guy had 4. He had 89 assists. He was plus 123, and he had 100 minutes in penalties. 100 minutes in penalties. So he was no sweetheart. Yeah. And he used to fight. I think he had 4. I think in his career he had 4 fights. And I'll go over the stats again. When I say that to the guys now, they get it. I'm 46 goals, and Coffey was close. Coffey, I think, beat him on the goals, I think, the year after. But Coffey and him were the closest thing, but he never had the assist that Bobby had, and he was never 120 plus 103. And Bobby, I mean, that was unbelievable. 46 goals, 89 assists, plus 120, and 100 minutes in penalties. That's the big one.
Yeah. Well, they have an NHL poll of the players.
Yeah.
And it was 500 players were polled, and they said best defenseman. 65% of them said Hedman.
Oh, Hedman, I would have to say Hedman is the best defenseman. I think he's only won that once.
I'm not too sure.
It's a wonder he hasn't won it more.
Yeah. Well, Dad, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Spreads.ca. It's a Canadian-owned casino sports bet online. And if you go in and register and sign up and use the promo Grapes, they'll match your deposit up to $500. You get some spins on the big wheel for some big dough, and then your first sports bet, they'll spot you $25. So everybody's going to wonder, do you bet Montreal is going to get it and win more games?
I think they'll win one game.
So, Dad, we know that Monday is the game 4, and by next week, we'll know who won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
But there's some important dates coming up for the hockey fans.
Yeah, July 28th is unrestricted free agents. They can go to the highest bidder where everybody overpays everybody. And you know what? If I was there, I'd probably be overpaying them too. July 23rd, the first round draft choice.
That's first round, yeah.
Yeah, first round. And this next day, they go from 2 to 7 rounds.
Where's the Leafs in that?
Not too good. They don't pick till the third. They had second. I think the third, second, and fifth, and sixth, second, five, and sixth round. Foligno. They give. That was a good one. If he hadn't got hurt, Foligno would have been all right. The Seattle Crackers.
Krakens. Well, they're going to said their fans are going to be called crackheads.
Oh, isn't that lovely?
No, don't. The way, no, they'll have a pretty good team. They'll make it, they'll.
So when's the expansion draft? When is that?
July 17th.
July 17th.
Yeah, and, they give, that, they'll have a pretty good team. They'll give the, they'll have guys left over. You know what, the Leafs are going to lose Kerfoot. I like that Kerfoot. He'd be, but he's earning too much dough. He's earning $3.5 million. They can't afford
that. Well, that's what the rumor is that they won't protect him. And Seattle will get him in the expansion draft.
Well, $3.5 million, that's a lot of money. A Spezza signed for 1 year. What do you get?
Did he get a raise?
Yeah, he got $50,000 raise, $750,000.
Yeah, unbelievable. He was their best player. Imagine he's their best player and the guys are getting $10 million. Oh, we better not go into that again. But Wayne Simmons got a two-year contract. I think he got about $700,000.
Well, that was good. I saw him on Twitter and he just said, I had a bad taste in my mouth the way it ended. And he says,
He broke his thumb. Eh? He was never the same after he broke his
thumb. But like you and I said last week, if they're going to they have to play him, and they got to play him in the playoffs.
Yeah, and you take Perry. They got Perry. Perry played for over 14 minutes.
You know, he's been in the Stanley Cup Finals 2 years in a row.
Is that right?
Yeah, with Dallas. Remember, we were watching a game. I know we're getting off talk, but we were watching a game in the finals, or was it the finals or was the semifinals, and he was playing for Dallas. Dallas just scored to kind of get back into a game, and then he went out and kind of got a dummy penalty.
Yeah.
And you said they won't re-sign him because of that penalty, and they didn't sign him. No. And then Montreal picks him up. He 2 years in a row he's been in the finals.
And got important goals.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jack Hyman, he won't be back, and much they want him back, but he'd like to get him back, but he can't be because he's going to go. This every year. There's a certain time in a career of a hockey player when he can make the big dough. And the big dough, this is his year that he'll make the big dough. And somebody's going to really pay him some money. Jack Campbell, he's making $1.65 million. You know he's going to get a big raise.
Yeah. Anderson won't be back.
No, but two of them, they can't be back. I mean, they just, let's see. The Leafs can protect seven forwards, and they can pick one defenseman, and they'll put up a goalie, but I don't know.
They can protect their defense. They can only expose one defenseman.
Anyhow, it should be interesting.
I know you don't like knocking guys, but I gotta say I don't understand the coaching. In Seattle, I don't understand coach. I mean, and I'm not knocking him, and I don't like knocking him, but you know, like I'd like to know why they picked him.
I have to say I don't understand it. I thought for sure if they weren't going to pick Gallant, I thought they'd pick Rick Tocchet.
Yeah.
Or Tocchet.
Bruce Boudreau.
Bruce Boudreau. I mean,
never been. He's
played. And don't forget Tortorella. He's in there.
Yeah.
He colorful
guy. The city
guy.
Would love him.
Oh, they'd go nuts over him.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't understand it.
The guy they got, I'm not knocking him, never played in the National Hockey League. And in his coaching career, he's never been out of the first round of the playoffs.
Well, he didn't.
And he was in Philly, and he was assistant coach in Toronto.
I just don't understand it. I mean, there was so many good. This is the year that there was a lot of good coaches available. Oh, well, I guess they know what they're doing. Anyhow, I just it should be interesting coming up. I think Montreal, and you know, here's the big thing: the first game of this. I always keep track of this. I know I shouldn't keep track of it. Over 100 hits, 100 hits between the two teams. I mean, you cannot make the Stanley Cup final unless you hit, and they both hit. And I've said this to the start: you have teams, you build for the regular season. And you build for the playoffs. Tim, I want to end on a sad note. And a great guy, Constable Jeff Northrup of the 52nd Division. He was out when everybody was sleeping. You heard about a robbery in a parking garage
in Toronto.
And imagine 31 years you've been on the force, and you know I don't understand it. I really don't understand it. They want to defund the police. That's all you read about in the papers: defund the police, defund the police. And the very same people that, when they're in trouble, that want to defund the police, who do they phone? The police. I mean, and the crime is up all over. I mean, let's face it, it's in the States and Canada. And guys are retiring. I don't blame them for retiring. But anyhow, I just wanted to...
Yeah, you know, I do feel sorry for the police, because they have to deal with everything the politicians don't want to deal with. Yep. Politicians, they really don't want to deal with the homeless situation, but the police have to deal with it every day. They really don't want to deal too much with the drug. You know, they'll say stuff, you know, John Tory and the rest of them will come up and say some stuff, but they really don't want to deal with it. But the police have to deal with it every day.
They pass the buck to the police all the time to deal with stuff.
Right. So what happens is, like, it was an example was in Toronto, there was a homeless camp in a park. And what happened was the politicians just, oh, you know, we have to let them go. And they turned a blind eye to it. So it got to a point where they had to do something. Yeah. So they had to tell the police to go in and do it.
Right.
And the police now are the bad guys for going in and do it.
Because as you said, the police wanted to nip it in the bud early so it didn't escalate. So, of course, it ended up to be a city of tents. And now they go in and they're the bad guys.
They're the bad guys. They're all, look at the police, they're heavy-handed. If they would have done it right away, they wouldn't do it. Everything the politicians don't want to deal with, the police have to deal with it. And it's the same thing with the media. They turn a blind eye to stuff until the police have to deal with it. And then, unfortunately, you know, they're always put in a bad light. And, you know, you have people like the leader of the NDP who, you know, in the federal, you know, the federal leader of the NDP who constantly is chastising the police and saying how bad they are and saying they're racist and all that. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, you get this guy, you know, this police officer doing his job, and he got run over deliberately doing his job, and there's no outrage.
No, you know, it should be an outrage. Jeff Northrup is hit by a car while he was investigating a robbery. 31 years and 52 division. He was a great guy.